The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
This time, and Kevin as always. Do you have Aldi's in Ohio?
Yes.
Do you ever eat the popcorn from there?
No.
Don't. I don't understand how you can have microwave popcorn that as soon as you it's done popping, it goes stale. Like, immediately goes stale.
No, that sounds terrible.
It is.
It even sounds stale.
It was one of those mini bags, and it took almost 4 minutes to pop the whole thing. That's never a good sign. That butter substitute shit should immediately, you know, go liquid and pop it, but well, that's a total disappointment. I even used my Christmas tin as well, so it should have been a festive experience. And now I've only got 10 more bags of that to go, or 9, excuse me, 9 to go now. But luckily I have 2 dogs, so they'll eat it. Anyways, so how are you doing this fine morrow evening?
Well, I am doing just peachy, and I don't know. I guess I don't really have that much to talk about.
Well, that doesn't really make for a good audio if you got nothing to talk about, though.
Well, at least as far as just regular bullshit, like, we usually start with something, like, completely off topic, but I just don't. I was arranging stuff for fantasy baseball, that was really about it. Like, nah. That's not really, I don't feel like talking about that all that much.
Yeah, well, no.
I mean, maybe if I talk trash with Dusty at some point, I'd be completely fine with it, but, you know, I don't really care to.
It's also baseball talk. What are you supposed to say about baseball now? I don't know. I mean, I liked playing it. I liked playing softball, but other than that, I really don't know a whole lot now. So, oh well. But anyways, as Kevin said, he doesn't have anything to jibber-jabber about, but we've got some topics.
Well, that's what I was going to get to eventually, too.
I don't know. Should we go chronologically or just do whatever?
Oh, I guess we usually do chronologically, so that would put us at Hulk Hogan, wouldn't it?
Well, no. Well, damn, that was quick. I guess they announced it on, what, Friday?
Yeah, since the launch wasn't until Monday, yeah. I would say that is the first thing, really.
Yeah, well, it didn't really get, I mean, I don't know, it was weird. Do you get the WWE text?
No.
Okay, see, I'm signed up for it. So I got a text, and it was like breaking news, and I'm like, uh-oh, someone got hurt or something. And it was Hulk Hogan returns, and I'm like, why would you do that? You've already got, I mean, Monday, you know, for the hardcore fans, you already had, you know, the Elimination Chamber, and then you had the network starting, so you knew everybody else was going to, you know, chime in, whatever else. So you were going to get the eyes on the television screen as it is, but I don't understand why they gave away the Hogan thing. I mean, it didn't seem necessary.
I guess would you have done it just Monday on Raw?
Yeah. I mean, I had a mini conversation about this with Shahid, but you know, it's surprises don't pop rating or surprises don't pop ratings. So maybe that's why they did it. I don't know. But I don't know. I just imagine Monday when Hogan came out, if no one knew he was going to be there, I don't know. You would have expected Monday, without knowing Hogan was there, that the first person out would have been Randy Orton. So the crowd would have been, you know, pretty ready to boo him, whatever else. Or even John Cena, if you saw the way the chamber ended. But instead, Hogan's music hits, and the whole crowd could have been kind of stunned and gone crazy. I mean, he had got a pretty good reaction regardless, but still. I just think it would have been a little more special, I guess, I'm thinking.
Now, I mean, I guess I kind of made the point there that I was a little surprised that the reaction wasn't completely bullshit. Like, it was, you know, like, 80% bullshit, I guess.
What do you mean?
I expected the crowd to be completely going mad for the return.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think they went all in on going crazy about it.
Well,
because it was kind of funny. There was the one shot where he's in the ring and they had it from far back. And they're just picturing all the people in the upper deck just sitting in their chairs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you. I thought the crowd reaction could have been better, too.
And I think it's one of those things to me that... what was I going to spit out? Oh, that he's just kind of come and gone so much now that... trying to make a big deal out of the return, I guess it just feels inevitable.
Well,
you know, like
he had to face
down with himself and said things did not go like I wanted to them in TNA.
Okay. I think it's been 7 years since he's been in WWE, though. So coming and going, 7 years is a long time.
Well, he's taken two long breaks, I guess.
Yeah.
One to WCW, and then the other to TNA.
Yeah.
Because he was in WCW about the same amount of time.
Yeah, but at least in WCW, there were eyes on him, though. So I think it's in that respect, it's a little different, where when he disappeared this time, come on, I mean, he went to TNA, and I mean I made a comment in one of the message board, just, you know, Hogan, you know, he was a little frazzled last night, and it's because he's not used to being in front of more than 150 people. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just from that or that. I don't know.
Well,
I just don't care anymore.
No, it's nice to see that he's back. It should have been a cool moment, but and we can get to this later, but that crowd was a pile of shit last night. They were terrible. So it's not much of a surprise that, you know, they kind of just sat on the hands anyways. But you would think, though, just in name recognition alone, that, you know, Hulk Hogan in WWE, WWF, whatever, would garner a bigger response than that. But then, I want to chalk it up to giving the surprise away, but what about just his overexposure for a while? He had that television show while he was gone, you know, all the tabloid stuff, everything about him, you know. Divorce, his parent almost suicide, all that stuff. Maybe that's got something to do with it too, where people are just like, well, here's another old guy. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he really didn't do a whole lot for his own image.
No.
In the meantime, between being in the WWE the last time and now.
The you know, when TNA went to the house, not house shows, when I think when they went on the road with Impact and played the bigger houses, especially the ones in England, he got a bigger response from those than he did last night. And that's kind of telling. So, I don't know, maybe next week in Chicago, it'll be better if he's on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that'll be kind of interesting because The Rock really could get physically involved. I mean, I guess Hogan can. Mm. but not really to the extent that that The Rock could. Like, I don't think Vince McMahon's going to go, yeah, no, let's go with another match. Like, he is just entirely too shot to be putting a match on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So, like, I mean, I think that Vince is going to make the right call and not have it happen. So, I mean, he's really kind of limited to really just being, you know, showing up in a couple of schlocky segments throughout the show, which, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm – maybe that's part of the apathy too, is that it's just not much of a role really. You know, like, even if he would be at ringside with somebody, he could be more involved in promos and just being in the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just kind of a boring role, really, to just have.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm glad you brought this up. I mean, I guess we could have gotten into this later on when we do, you know, Raw Talk or Elimination Chamber, or even later on when we do our WrestleMania preview shows this year, since it's actually interesting this year. it'll take a second to get to it, but with Daniel Bryan's situation where he's challenging Triple H instead of being in the main event for the title chase picture, whatever you want to call it, it almost seems like Hogan's designated, like, and especially with his history, that he's going to insert his foot into it somehow. And Hogan will interject, or they use him to interject and somehow get Bryan into that title picture. And that'll be the big thing. Like, right now, it just like you said, it's just kind of like, all right, well, he's just hosting. Who cares?
Uh-huh.
But then, as we saw with the host when Rock hosted, he got involved in the main event. So it's not that far-fetched that the same thing couldn't happen again. And Hogan goes, no, this isn't how it's going to be. You know, it kind of gives him an out of sorts. But I don't know. I'm with you. I just think it's a weird position for – it's kind of an not unnecessary, but just kind of a nothing position for him. When The Rock hosted, we were there. What did he do? He opened the show and then interfered in the end. That was it. That's really all you ever saw of him.
Yeah. I honestly, if he did anything more, I haven't watched that since being there live. So
mm-hmm.
it obviously did not stand out, if those are the only two things that both of us can remember.
I'm trying to think. There may have been a backstage interaction, but it really just kind of goes with, yeah, that he didn't do anything. The hosts don't do anything. It's
yeah.
just a way to get Hogan on to WrestleMania, which is fine. So,
yeah, no, I got no problem with that. Yeah. It's just, you know, there's just come, you know, some really limited expectations as to what he's going to do. So
yeah.
It's just like, okay, great.
Well, did you notice?
Moving along.
Did you notice with Hogan they muted his tattoos? Some of them they covered up totally, but the one on his forearm, it was definitely muted down. It wasn't nearly as crisp as it actually is.
No.
Yeah. They're trying to make Hogan look like he was back in the 80s, not all tatted up and everything. It was kind of funny.
I did not pay attention.
Yeah. That was the weirdest part about
because
that is, that's the first thing I noticed.
Oh.
Why,
I the only time I really paid attention, or the only time I really thought about it, was when he was walking down and he had his arm up and I saw it, but that was it.
Yep.
I didn't really think about it outside of that.
Yep.
And I mean, I guess that was the other thing that really didn't help his appearance to me on Monday, is that it was just really a nothing appearance too. It's just like, hey, I'm hosting if you didn't hear, I'm hosting WrestleMania.
Yeah, because of the big news of the WWE Universe. When he flubbed that, I was like, oh, shit. You had two jobs. One to say you're hosting WrestleMania and one to pimp the network. And, wow. He tried to cover, but it was clearly a fumble. So, you know, good work, good professional work on his part. But still, oh, boy.
And then, yeah, no, that was not a demanding list of things to get across to the audience.
And the fact that he's lying through his teeth that he's going to watch Heartbreak Kid matches or Bret Hart or 316 Steve Austin, I'm like, no, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. What are you talking about? And did he say The Rock afterwards?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought he said Rock afterwards, and it got no reaction whatsoever. I guess because he was just kind of meandering at that point. Just like, oh, brother.
Yeah, no, it didn't. He was out there to pimp those two or three things, and that was really about it. Like, I mean, it was just, you know, much like the role itself, it just doesn't have a point.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, Hogan, like, comes back to be a shill, which...
Okay, yeah.
Hey, good work if you can get it, I suppose.
So, yeah, no, I'm not blaming him, not blaming them if, you know, for wanting to have him on the card, why not?
No, well, it was funny, I was listening to...
I don't need to be entertained by it, though.
no, just because you're on doesn't mean it's entertaining. Exactly. Now, I was listening to the Jim Ross podcast with Steve Austin, and they were both in agreement that, you know, Vince always likes the even numbers. So 10, 20, 30, that sort of thing. He's always making it big. So, you know, Hogan, in that vein, Hogan had to be on this show in some capacity. And he can't wrestle. Dude, he was moving pretty gingerly down the aisle. So it's just not good.
Yeah, no, I remember him just being involved a couple of times, you know, just in some punching and whatnot. It's just like, oh my God, dude, just stop.
Yeah, it's...
Like, you shouldn't even be doing that. Like, I know that you can still throw a punch, but you can just tell how shot your body is.
Yeah, and you know, there's a time. I mean, you know, Ric Flair's not wrestling anymore. And... I guess it's a good transition into this topic, but did you get the network? Did you see the pregame?
No, I really didn't have the time to watch any of it at all. Like, I watched Tito Santana being introduced at the first WrestleMania on the network.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That is about all that I've watched. Like, I mean, I go to the gym after work. I go to the gym, and then after the gym, I eat, and I actually talk to another live human being. And then I started watching Raw. Well, and I walk the dogs a couple of times in between there. So it's just like, I was watching the WWE by the time I had free time.
Okay.
And today really hasn't been any different. By the time I had some free time, I sat down to talk to you about wrestling.
Great. All right.
You know, I guess it's just one of those things that I know that I will use it, and I got it specifically because it is cheaper than ordering the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I will watch those. So, it's still worth the price to me because, you know, again, I'll be getting the pay-per-views for a much cheaper rate than I would. Because it was just $50 for Elimination Chamber. So, I mean, at $10 a month, I mean, that's 5 months right there.
Yeah.
That's five pay-per-views.
Yeah. And honestly, if you look at it this way, if you weren't going to WrestleMania, you'd be getting it. So there's, I think WrestleMania is 70. So, you know.
Well, and then that's the other thing, is the last couple of times, like, when it became kind of clear that having a physical copy of DVDs was on the decline, I stopped getting the WrestleManias. Like, I know that I got the one that we went to in Detroit and the one in Orlando, but then the Atlanta I didn't get, and like the last couple I didn't get. It's just like, whatever, I know I can find it if I need to.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I just haven't wanted to get a copy. So if we, when we come back, it's going to be easy for me to just pop on there and watch a replay of it. Because that was one thing that I always say. It's just like, you know, it always is one thing to be there, and it's another thing to hear the commentary with it, since it's part of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you are missing something live, but, you know, you're also kind of missing out on the fun of being there yeah. when you're not there. So,
well, that's a beautiful. We started talking about this a little bit, but even so. While we're at WrestleMania, we can pull our phone out and watch it.
Oh, I'm sure that, you know, everyone is going to be trying to pull that stunt in, that it's going to be running like fucking molasses.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So I guess right now, either.
But you are right. If we could get a signal in there with 100,000 people trying to do the same thing. We could potentially listen to it as we were watching it.
Yeah.
That would be kind of hilarious to be like those. I always love those old guys at baseball games
with the,
that always had their headphones in, transistor mm-hmm. radio, and they're sitting there watching the games so that they could get the radio broadcast of it.
Yeah, because you can't just sit there and watch and pay attention. You gotta have someone spoon feed you everything that's going on in front of you. Yeah, but so
I never noticed that it said three balls and two strikes up on the scoreboard.
Yeah,
it was always a concept I couldn't conquer.
Well, you know what? In the old days, sure, you should have your transistor radio. It would probably help a lot more. Now, they've got a TV usually in center field somewhere.
Well, I mean,
show you exactly what's going on. So
even when we were kids, like in the early 80s, the scoreboards were even good enough at that point that you didn't really need a radio. They give you who was at bat. They give you runs, hits, all that other good stuff.
Yeah, Tiger Stadium was okay for that. I guess they did have that center scoreboard finally.
Yeah, I mean, Three Rivers was, you know, I mean, it was nothing awesome, but, you know, it was better than Crew Stadium's most recent scoreboard.
Yeah, well, that one was a lot cooler, caught on fire. That one shot flames, at least. That's pretty badass, if you ask me. So,
and did I mention that they're replacing that bad boy?
Well, yeah, caught on fire. I figured you would have to replace it.
No. Right? They used it the rest of the season last year.
Jesus. All right, raise ticket prices a little bit to afford the mid-season replacement. Good God.
Well, the new owner is buying a lot of new stuff, and good on him for doing so. But they're like, it's going to be like 2.5 times the size that it is right now.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're going to have ribbons on the side of the stadium now, too.
Ribbons?
Those scoreboards that are like 24 inches tall.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what those are called. All right.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just thought they were video boards. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take it you're not one of the people that are complaining about the issues that are going on with WWE's network right now, then.
No, I am not part of those persons, because that singular time that I tuned in, I did not have a problem. I suppose I could be watching the WWE Network as we recorded.
Yeah, to be honest, yes, we could. Well, as long as it's not on your Xbox, and Samsung Galaxy tablets don't work yet either. So, you know.
So you have both of those?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, I knew you had the one. I didn't know what type of tablet you had.
Yeah, it's very odd. Let me see if I can pull this bad boy up here. Yesterday when it launched, you know, it took a while to get through. And, okay. Well, what are you really missing? I guess I'm totally stifled, or just stymied, excuse me, by... Oh, is it working now? All right. So as I'm doing this, I'm going to try and log in. I remember a long time ago trying to sign up for the TNA something or other and how miserable of a failure that was. So let's see how this is live on the show. See if they got the tablets fixed. That'd be pretty cool. Signing in. That signing was
oh, yeah.
Problem.
And I guess that was the other thing is that I didn't try to do it on my phone or anything like that. I just pulled it up on my PC at my office.
Yeah, the PC works great. My awful phone, it actually works great on. This phone doesn't do anything right, but yet it can stream the WWE Network like easy peasy. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, and then that's what... It's so funny. I just completely tune out their commercials. Like, I've just realized this week on the Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw that I think I hate those download the app segment because it's like I'm watching Blue's Clues. You know, like, it's that level of instruction that they're given. It's just like, oh my God. So do you just need to, if you have the WWE, is the WWE app different than the network?
No, not anymore. It's not. Before the app was like that second screen stuff, which
right.
I finally used for the first time last night. And that's the very odd thing is the second screen app on the tablet worked great last night.
Oh, okay.
But it's when you go to the network, it just goes, can you see that? Well, that's Tosh.0 in the background.
No, I got glare.
Hey, that's you, see?
Hey, that is me.
How are you doing?
I can pick my nose.
Yeah, but it's just a blank screen. And then eventually it will say the app's not responding and close out. So they haven't fixed the Galaxy app, but... I came home at lunch yesterday to test it on the Xbox, and it gives you this weird error where it's saying that your login's no good. Or it doesn't recognize your login, which is weird because it works on everything else. So I actually called support, and I got Oscar the first time. And Oscar's like, yeah, we know there's something going on with it. We're working on it. I'm like, oh, okay. Because they should work in about an hour or so. This was at 1 o'clock yesterday. So I got home, and I talked to a lady named Carol. And the poor lady... I swear they must have been calling temp agencies and just saying, please send people over to answer phones. She was going, she's like, so are you having an issue with quality, this, login, this? And I'm like, no, honey, I can't get into the Xbox at all. Do you have an Xbox Live or Gold, Xbox Live Gold account? I have an Xbox, of course I do. If you don't, the Xbox is worthless. which we'll get into that part in a minute too. But so she's going through all this, and then I was on the phone like 20 minutes with her, and she was trying, so I didn't really care. And she was polite right. as can be. But then finally she goes, well, Mr. Mays, we know there's a problem, and we just don't know when it's going to be fixed. And I go, oh, all right, that's honest. Cool. And there was a pause. Like she was waiting for me to yell at her or something.
Right.
And she goes, okay. I was like, well, no, that's cool. I'll just wait. No big deal. And I go, works on my laptop. That's fine. I don't care. She goes, oh. Okay. Well, is there anything else I can do for you? No, that's good. You have a good night, all right? And she sounded shocked that I was like just loose as can be about it. And I guess that's the long, long way of getting to the point of this. People act surprised, or like it's just a bunch of like speculation about how bad this is or how bad it's going to be. We're just now at 36 hours. This thing's been up and running. Is that right? 9 a.m. and it's almost 10 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just about 37 hours. You can still get into a lot of content. You just can't access it the way you would like to begin with. And then people, and the complaints about signing up, it took me a half hour to get in. Well, so what? Stop trying. It's not like tickets for something. You're not missing out on anything. So you missed out on the initial, hey, welcome to the WWE Network message? Who gives a shit? Calm down. I don't understand. It's like whenever something gets released and it doesn't work correctly right off the bat, everyone throws a fucking fit about it.
Oh, man. I'm glad that I just pay little attention to that stuff. Like, it would drive me bonkers to pay attention to it more than I do. Oh,
it just made me feel kind of sad for people. Like, oh, I can't... Well, they don't have this up yet. And I'm looking through all this stuff going, well, that's not here. All right. I was going looking for some of the old world-class championship wrestlings, you know, the stuff out of Texas. Just to see what they had. And they got one episode up right now. Okay. Well, once all of it's up, it'll be up forever. Calm the fuck down. You know.
Yeah, there's got to be more than just that one thing that's missing that you wanted to watch.
Yeah.
So go find it and wait until they have that up.
Yeah, and I think KFAB News had a funny post about if you want to watch an error-free and cost-free solution to WWE Network, it's called YouTube. And that just cracked me up because I was like, yeah, well, they're right. I mean, for the most part, they pretty much nailed it. But no, it's this constant bitching about it. And then once that stops, it's like, well, you know, this isn't up. And now, if you think about it, in the history of anything, nothing goes swimmingly when you first try it. I mean, hell, even like a car's automobiles get recalled because they forgot to do something. And that's a hell of a lot more dangerous than this is.
Yeah, I'm glad you went with recall instead of repo.
Which would be kind of funny, actually. Yeah, even if you're paying for it, we're still repossessing it. But
what?
Yeah, but no, like the argument or the complaints that there's not enough, like not everything's up yet. Again, why would you launch something with everything available? Every single thing you have. It doesn't give you the customer any incentive to keep going. If you've released everything you have right off the bat and you watch everything you wanted to watch, you can just cancel it. And then they're out. I mean, it's just business sense.
Oh, so they've purposely held some stuff back.
They're not going to say they did. But doesn't it make a little bit more sense to do that, though?
It would make some sense to do that. Yeah. I mean, considering that... I mean, my head exploded just thinking about all of the pay-per-views ever, mm-hmm. essentially. Because it's just like, oh my gosh, I can probably go back and finally figure out which of those ECW pay-per-views I really like, because I know that there's only like a year that I watched them, essentially, back in the day.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't pay attention until, you know, like my fifth year.
Yeah.
When I actually had, you know, more than an hour of free time per week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No.
But, I mean, just thinking about like that and WCW, there are so many. Oh my gosh, I didn't even. Holy shit. I still have video cassettes in my in the storage facility that we got for her piano.
Mm-hmm.
I can get rid of those. Okay. I had like WrestleMania 3 on videotape. 3, 4, maybe 5. I had some old WCWs from the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. I don't need those anymore.
Well, see, I've heard people say that too, but then some of the pay-per-views are edited. The way they, first for like content, like, you know, what they want, but then also like music and all that sort of stuff. So if you want like the original, then you keep it if you don't care. But then also, what you just said was you had a bunch of videotapes in storage. Do you own a VCR still?
No.
Okay. So I think I have one in the garage back at the house because she won't get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, I think one of my coworkers still has something that'll change them into DVDs.
What are those?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I mean, I don't really care that much about the music. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't remember what it was then. So if they change it, there's one of two things that's going to happen. I'm not going to notice. Or you're going to be able to tell every dub song because of the way that it sounds on the pay-per-view. Because, you know, if it just is going to have a different recording quality to it.
Oh, yeah. It's the, I was watching Heat Wave and New Jack's music. It's not Natural Born Killers anymore. It's that awful canned stuff that they use for One Night Stand 2, I think, when he was at. So, yeah, it's really obvious. But I think the worst part will be, like, Sandman's music. Because it won't be Inner Sandman, which will kind of suck. But
oh, yeah, that does. That sucks, and that will be really obvious. I guess there are some that are kind of easy to remember that I'm not trying to think of, really.
Well, Tommy Dreamer was Man in a Box.
RVD was, was he Walk? It was something.
Balls
from Mahoney
was balls. Was balls, or was it Big Balls? Balls of the Wall. Candida was Back in Black. Although I think what's his name? Just Incredible was Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck.
Yeah.
And really, Prong could probably use. You know, Prong probably wouldn't mind. You know, good old Tommy Victor probably is like, don't worry about it. As long as our music's out there, we're fine. Which actually, I think it was Snapcase or someone else that redid that song.
Grinspoon did a remake of that, okay. Which is really good. It's an Australian band.
Okay, that's probably who it was then.
Yeah, I really dig them a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's just that stuff. But it, like, there were some other people that had different stuff too.
But really, and at some point, maybe they'll reach an agreement with the... I mean, I don't know if they reached out to any of these people to see if they could use the music on there.
That's true.
You know, I guess that'd be interesting to know. I don't really care. Like, if they just felt like it was going to take too much money to pay for that stuff anyway, then, you know, again, that's another business thing on their end. Like, if they're going to give us cheap content, that's fine. That might be one of the downsides to cheap content.
Well, it's a downside for right now. But once all of this is up and working, and it's going to be up and working, I think one of the more annoying one is that this is possibly, you know, if things don't improve, that this could be another XFL for Vince McMahon. And I'm like, Are you really that dumb? It's, again, 36 hours that this has been, that this, by when we're recording this, 36 hours. And yeah, you got to work out some kinks. Well, so what?
Yeah.
As long as your PC
unless
works,
you're ROH, you can figure out how to do internet pay-per-views. I mean, Pro Wrestling Ohio, Prime Wrestling, they ran on GoFight TV without a problem. I'm sure if they have figured it out, the WWE is not going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And again, like, I agree with you. There's just going to be some hitches along the way. It's not that big a deal. I actually, and we discussed this a little bit, even though we could potentially watch it on... on the app in the stadium, that feed could get a little hairy. Just, again, because it's going to be the first time. Because it's, I mean, there are a lot of people that just order WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Every year. Like, it's a reason why it's the, you know, the highest selling one, the biggest one, the one they make the biggest deal out of. It's because people that don't check in once a year. So it could get a little hairy that day, but honestly, it'll be bad this year. Come next WrestleMania next year, it won't be a problem.
Right.
Even if it is this year. I mean, I guess I'm already assuming that it's going to be bad this year.
I think Thursday the NXT live broadcast is probably the guinea pig to figure out, to make sure, you know, especially with a small studio like that, to make sure everything's up and running. But what I was trying to find was, I believe Dish Network has totally given WWE pay-per-views the heave-ho from their carrier.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, well, at least on a message board earlier.
And that's what I'm trying to confirm, if that's true or not. Also, I think Comcast, I think that was another one I read, too. Sorry about that. I wish I had it pulled up quicker. But, anyways.
Chop, chop.
But, yeah, but if true, that almost seems like that's going to be great business for WWE then. If it just seems like that's just lost money for Comcast and that, and Dish.
I agree with you. You know, some people still might view it as, you know, might not want the content, just get the pay-per-views.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why they would do that. Like, just monetarily, it doesn't make a lick of sense. But, you know, it's one of those things that if it's there, people will do it that way. And I guess maybe they need some type of minimum. I wonder if they need a minimum number to run something like that. I guess that would be the only reason to pull out of that. Like, if you need X number of orders to make it worth it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going through this
thing here. You know, on their end to, like, maintain the lines or do advertising or whatever else they claim they do.
Yeah. Well, it just shows Dish is done with it. I can't find anything on Comcast, but... The only thing, and we just mentioned it, is it just seems like this is just going to push people to the app now. And I forgot that Comcast owns NBC. So the TV rights that came up, they've got to be pretty mad. Huh. But, yeah, no, I think that with WrestleMania 30 will be a huge test. But even if it, you know, they're going to have to get, and it's probably server space, and the company they partner with that does the Major League Baseball as well, they even said they were overwhelmed, that no one expected, you know, this sort of turnout. And I know we were talking about this yesterday. I think Jason Powell at ProWrestling.net even said, I still don't understand the decision to wait and make everyone sign up at once. This is the exact reason they made everybody wait. And this is what I was talking to you about. They're stressing their server. They're stressing out their network to see what it can handle and what it can't. And now they've got 6 weeks to improve it.
No.
So that this sort of thing doesn't happen anymore. It seemed kind of obvious the entire time. I mean, I even found myself wondering, and then it occurred to me, especially with the business I'm in, if everyone tries to log into the same server all at once, someone overloads, you know, the network. All right, now we know we need this more processing power here. We need more channels over here. We need more fiber to be run to get this thing up and running. You know, just, and that's all big terms, not big terms, but it has nothing to do with what they're actually doing. But
right.
But no, so you create the server space, you get the amount of people that are up and running, and there you go. So, and also, the first week of this thing is free. So even though we both signed up for the network, we're technically not getting charged this week for it. So if it doesn't work correctly, you're not getting billed for it anyways, so shut the fuck up. Again, it's... man alive. I don't know. I know I'm bitching about people bitching, which is pretty stupid, which is kind of defeatist, but...
That's what we do here.
Well, not... You know, we've tried to keep a little more positive lately because being negative about it all the time just got old. You know, there's so much to enjoy on there. I started watching... I mean, I watched WrestleMania 1 yesterday at work. Who's done that before? I mean, I'm sure there are probably some people, like Eric probably, somehow figured out how to do it.
That honestly was one of those other things, and I'm just like... Any of these motherfuckers I know have a day job?
Thank you. And especially some like people we're friendly with, especially.
Because that was the other thing, is that I didn't sign up until I was... I mean, I honestly did not have the time to sign up for it until 5 o'clock when I was done but still working on stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be honest.
I suppose I could have done it at lunch, but I prefer to use that as a time to do some reading.
Well, I have to admit I'm guilty. I did not get a lot done yesterday until my my confirmation. It confirmed that it went through.
No.
So, and then I realized that the work wasn't blocking the WWE website. And I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. But then I wanted to run home and test it on the Xbox, so I did. So, I mean, no, I was genuinely excited about this thing. When we did the one of the other shows, and we were covering the network launch, and we both just went, wait a minute, all of this is only $10, and we get all the pay-per-views? That was a genuinely exciting thing. And
yeah. If I have to wait a couple of weeks to figure out which ECW pay-per-views I really, really, really liked, then, you know, my life will be okay. Like, because, I mean, I guess that's why I mentioned the free time, too, because, oh, that's what you said to me. You're like, there goes my free time. And I'm like, I don't have that much free time.
Yeah, and when you said that, I was like, man, true. I guess I can get a little less sleep. That's fine. But then, to the point you were just making, oh yeah, we got plenty of time to find the stuff we enjoy. And this isn't going to be an XFL thing. This thing's here to stay, and especially with the turnout they supposedly got. And what was the number McMahon said? They had to get 1 million subscribers to break even, something like that, or to make it worthwhile. I can't see how.
And have they mentioned a number of subscribers yet, or an approximate number?
No, so
this morning, and that was it. Like, I haven't checked in on anything since then.
That probably won't come out until the next quarter meeting for their, you know, their profile. I don't know what the hell they're called. Stock calls, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That probably won't come out, but I honestly can't imagine, just based off their ratings, they get 4 million people watching every Monday. You're trying to tell me that half of them wouldn't sign up for this thing for $10? I mean, it's $2 more than Netflix, and Amazon's kind of Amazon's roughly a little bit less, but you get more with the Amazon one. But... This seems like a no-brainer for them to make money and break even to begin with. And then once they start getting original stuff on there that people will want to watch, as long as they keep it good, which now we can finally get away from this for a little bit and get into wrestling talk. match length is getting longer. You know, the quality of matches, quality of characters is getting better. If they can sustain this, that's going to make the WWE Network even more attractive.
Yeah, no, having a good present day stuff is not a bad thing. And I guess it's one of those things too that NXT was something that I didn't watch, and I just know that a lot of people online do. I guess now that I'm paying for something online, I am going to make more of a concerted effort to watch something like NXT.
Yeah. Well, like I told you...
Just because... I mean, I watch enough minor league stuff anyway, insert any sport here.
Yeah.
That why not watch some minor league wrestling?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know what you're getting at with that. That's not presented like minor league. This thing, like the new NXT set, it's its own set. They've got a little bit of pyro and, like, lighting and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they have certainly shown a bit more of it the last several weeks on Raw. Because I know that, you know, they've been showing a lot of clips of Emma and some of the other new people coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen more glimpses of it probably in the last month than... than I had, you know, at any other point.
Yeah. Well, like I was telling you yesterday, you need to search out the Sami Zayn... Kevin's doing the Emma dance.
Emolution.
Ugh. Maybe that makes sense in NXT. That makes... It's just some retarded Australian right now. I was going crazy when I saw people in the crowd doing it last night.
What, the whole three of them that were doing it?
Yes, that's how this bullshit starts. It starts with three, and the next week it's six, and then it's, how's this work, 12? Is it 12 or, yeah. Yeah, 36, 12, 18? No.
24?
Yeah, 36, 12, 24, and so on, so on. And then you have 70,000 people at WrestleMania doing it. No. It doesn't make any sense. It's another one of their half-ass things where it worked in NXT, so without even introducing her, she's just got some person doing it. And it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, well, and I think that that could be a problem, too. I think that's one of those things where they're trying to oversaturate the... you know, some aspects that are really fun of the crowd participation thing. Like, the yes thing is awesome,
mm-hmm.
but then when, like, everyone starts to try to do some type of hand gesture,
yeah,
it starts to get a little overload. And that one, to me, because, like, well, to me, I saw three people doing it and, like, not many people reacting to her.
Yeah,
and it's good. Just like, ooh. Because, and that was it was a perfect example, too. You were talking about their nicer set. Because they showed that whole set, and they showed her dancing, and, like, everyone at the crowd doing the dance. But there was only three people in that arena. It's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, I know that the NXT arena is much smaller, but, I mean, it's got to feel nice to at least have a couple hundred people doing that. Mm-hmm. And then when you come to Raw, you have three people. That you probably can't see because they're in the middle of nowhere.
And I think if they gave... like I know they're getting to a more in-ring style and less talk, but you still have to introduce these people. Like, Cesaro got over without talking because of his in-ring ability. Unfortunately for the Divas, that's not going to happen. It's just not. Even AJ, you know, her real big thing was when she blasted all the Total Divas people, and then that went nowhere. You know.
Yeah, no, they did not capitalize on that at all.
It sounded like someone backstage didn't like it and killed it. I can't remember where I read that, but she said something about it's unfortunate that some people weren't professional about it and didn't understand it. So... I'm going to think it's one of the Bellas that didn't like it, and they talked to their boyfriend. who's the top money draw in the company, and he said, hey, that's not good. So, and yes, I am saying John Cena still has that amount of power. now, but
well, they certainly have at least some type of veto power or consideration in there.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. What did you think of the last 2 days of actual wrestling? Like, actual, you know, but I mean by product, not just matches itself. But, you know, we had Sunday was the Elimination Chamber, and on Monday we had the 3-hour Raw, like usual.
Well, I found it a little strange this year that, I mean, if you're not going to talk about actual matches.
You can, that's fine. I'm just...
Well, it's a different topic, and I'm fine with it. It was strange because usually the last couple of years when they've started to write for WrestleMania, it's all kind of flowed together from Royal Rumble into Elimination Chamber through into WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like they set anything up officially until last night on Raw. Like, even though it had been rumored for Lord only knows how long that it was, and I mean, I guess I'm going to go to the end, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was still just kind of waiting for it to be resolved, because he was going after the title and everything, and, you know, Paul Heyman just, he can't be any more money at this point. Like, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, he apparently got some money because he cut his hair finally. That threw me. I was like, is he still got the ponytail? Nope.
Yeah. But just seeing that actually come to fruition, and I thought the even though it has some sense in what's happening, the whole Daniel Bryan Triple H thing seemed a little clunky to me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, it was, we're setting up the match, you know, to at least further my point, they're setting up the match after Elimination Chamber. Like, it isn't like any natural progression. The only thing that they kind of set up, and they still didn't even really set it up, was Batista Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Which they introduced the idea way back right after the Rumble, the day after. But Big Dave has, you know, been otherwise occupied still by Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, even again last night.
And yeah. Even again last night. And then Orton really wasn't paying much attention to Batista, because he kept on, you know, they started playing up the losing streak and he only beat Christian. So, like, he kind of been in his own little bubble, too. So last night, you know, again, or late Monday night, was another one of those occasions that it was, you know, they're really just starting the storyline.
Yeah.
Monday night. Like, I feel some other stuff is just because, oh, one of the Shawn Michaels build-ups was, like, you know, 2 months.
Yeah.
Him and Taker.
Well, the Daniel Bryan Triple H thing, obviously, you know, that was supposed to be CM Punk. So I'm still not sure where the hell Daniel Bryan was supposed to be for WrestleMania if Punk was going as Triple H, but I will say, and this is the first time I used it, but that second screen app that they always, you know, that was like, hey, this is what's going on the app during the breaks or whatever else.
Uh-huh.
That thing's pretty badass, actually. That was the first time, like, when I'm on my laptop, I don't usually have, you know, WWE, the network part up. But I remembered it last night and used the tablet for it. So whenever it would go to commercial, boom, it would, whatever the match was, it's on. It was pretty slick. But then they also mm-hmm. have, like, backstage interviews. Like, all the stuff that you would think would be on a regular Raw broadcast is actually on the app. It's pretty cool. And that's where that pre-show stuff came in, because that's where the Triple H Daniel Bryan stuff started, and then it carried over into the show. So it's still, you know, 5 weeks, whatever, 6 weeks of build, but at least it's more than just Daniel Bryan coming out that one time saying Triple H is a coward and all this. There was actually something that took place earlier in the night that made him go out and, you know, show some pretty good fire, which is probably one of the better Daniel Bryan stuff, promos, whatever we've seen from him.
Oh, his in-ring?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, just because they've kind of played him off as a goofball and just having to deal with the Wyatt family, you can't kind of have that kind of promo, I guess. Like, you know, because that was another strange detour that he took, which is, you know, seems to be in the distant past now, but honestly was only a month ago.
Yeah, absolutely ignored the fact that he lost clean to Bray Wyatt.
And Bray Wyatt hasn't really capitalized on it. Well, I mean, they've obviously given him far more momentum. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, using it as leverage for, you know, anything, like, it really hasn't been brought up.
No. I mean, they attacked Cena at the Rumble, and that kind of took precedence over it. And then when they showed up at the Chamber, you know, and I'm okay with Bray Wyatt and John Cena at WrestleMania. That's, hey, it's something new. That's great. And again, I say it every time we talk about John Cena in these sort of situations, the guy's not afraid to job out to people anymore. So, you know, that match is actually intriguing to me. But while we're talking about that, I mentioned John Cena. That dude's a hell of an actor when it comes to faking leg injuries. I was seriously wondering, wait a minute, that's not good. That looked like it was real. And they showed, like, Eric Rowan do something to his leg. I'm like, well, I guess that could have hurt him. But yeah, I mean, the physical ailments, he does pretty good. So...
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying. I was like, hold on. Now, is this, like, they were kind of talking to the doctors, and, like, when it's nothing specific, like, it always makes me wonder if it's a work.
Yeah. Well, in the post-game show for Raw, they actually did talk to one of the doctors, or one of the, not doctors, what are they, the backstage trainers.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was a cool touch, too. You know, it's kind of what we always wanted, like after WrestleMania especially. Like after stuff's over, you want to hear promos and stuff, but I guess that was, yeah. Before Raw was the immediate after pay-per-view. Because you didn't get a chance to watch all of WrestleMania, but at the end, after Hogan and them go to the they say bye and everything, all of a sudden they're in the locker room with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan talking about it, and that's how WrestleMania ended. Not with them celebrating in the ring saying thanks for watching, whatever else. It was them and then Jesse and Gorilla Monsoon said thanks for watching, and that was it. It was so weird.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was not what you're used to. Definitely not the usual slick production that you're used to seeing now. It's really incredible.
Yeah, no, I love watching that stuff.
Yeah. But...
because it's just such a horror show.
Yeah. That's something we could probably turn into a gimmick on here, too. So... I don't know, man. Alright. I have no idea how long this show is, by the way. So...
We just started the phone call after you came back.
Yeah, I've...
Oh.
Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess we went a little long with some topics, but... I don't know, quick review. Did Elimination Chamber... was it worth the money? Like, not just that match, the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was trying to figure out about the network, whether the Elimination Chamber was on there and whether I needed to keep it on my DVR.
I think it will be next week, I believe.
Oh.
Something like
okay.
that.
Awesome. I thought Big E Swagger was solid. Like, that was one that I kind of bitched about it to you, or bitched about the first three matches, and you're like, oh, I like the opener. I was like, oh. And I don't think I paid that much attention to that one, so I rewatched it, and it was a pretty solid match.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to that, though,
uh-huh.
Big E, that dude is totally underrated. For a dude that big, he doesn't get winded. You know, I mean, you know, he'll huff and puff or whatever, but that's what they all do. But he's not out right. there, you know, he's not taking these big breaks. None of that stuff. He's jumping around. He did a, not a crossbody, suicide dive, for Christ's sake. So, you know, besides being, I mean, especially a guy that big, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no.
I just want to make sure that got mentioned, that's all. So
he's a good one, and he seems to have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, actually, I was pretty glad that it was him and Cesaro. Like, if that's a match at WrestleMania, I would be perfectly fine with that.
That, or I'm still holding out hope for a Cesaro-Sheamus match. I don't know how, but I just want to see those two animals beat on each other again. That was so good on Raw the other week. I think it was Raw, right?
Yeah.
Was in a tag match? Yeah.
Yeah, last week, yeah.
I'll watch that over and over again. That would be absolutely fine with me.
Yeah, no, they, and, you know, they did that again, really, at least in parts of the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the next two matches were whatever.
Yeah.
That six-man match was just awesome.
It was everything we wanted, wasn't it?
It's one of those ones that you've definitely got to chalk that up to early contender. Like, I mean, I hate kind of saying that in February. But all the, you know, great matches can't happen this early. They can happen to December, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that has got to be up there with, like, great matches of the year. Like, I'd be surprised if it's not at least a top 10 by the end of the year.
I mean, for something especially that was so hyped and to live up to it. I mean, you knew it was on when the Shield got in the ring and all of them, like, they caught the shot perfectly. They all got in the ring and did their posing. And it was like, this is some serious shit. I mean, I think Rollins was in the front. Reigns was in the back doing his thing. But you could just see, like, wow, this is intense already. And then all of a sudden, you know, the lights go out. We're here. And then he's like, we're here. And it's like, oh, shit, this is actually going to happen. And a relatively clean win as well, which was kind of a surprise that Roman Reigns took the fall, but I guess that makes, you know, Bray Wyatt that much more legitimate.
Yeah, no, they're finally kind of moving in the right direction. Because, I mean, Reigns hasn't been pushed that long. They have certainly made him, you know, a badass.
Mm-hmm.
So having him lose somewhat clean is a big one for Bray. And I think it kind of, you know, kind of continues that build that I was talking about, because he did get a couple of cheapos after the Daniel Bryan win, which have helped out, I think.
So
that match really almost by itself, maybe it's not worth $50, but it's definitely worth like 30 or 35.
I mean
and then the Elimination Chamber was fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I haven't caught all 17, I don't think, but
how shocking was that there were that many?
Well, there were two every year for a while.
I know so was I wasn't
because
right?
there was a SmackDown one and a Raw one
That's
for
right.
several
that.
Years. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't completely surprised that the number was seven.
Okay.
And I don't know where it ranks in all of them, but I mean, I thought that it was a really good match, and you know. I do like Cena, you know, kind of taking the cheap fall, and
I guess
it's another one about going into the bitching about the bitching. I'm fine with Orton winning. Like I went into that match thinking Daniel Bryan was going to win or Randy Orton was going to win, like. And then
thought Daniel Bryan was going to win that.
Huh?
I never thought for a second Daniel Bryan was going to win that.
Yeah, I didn't think he had much of a chance. If I would have put odds on it, I would have said 75-25 or something like that for Orton. It never makes any sense. They wouldn't have as much backstory. And even honestly, like, I loved Batista's promo on Monday.
The one he caught on Randy Orton or the one about how he loves the business or whatever?
The one when he was going down with Orton, like, I was okay. Or good with, because it just cracked me up. He's like, if they cheer me, I'm going to cheer them. If they boo me, I'm going to boo them. Because he had already come down to the ring and just pointed at the sign that said Bautista. Yep. And he just started laughing. I'm like, oh, man. And I mean, it's the perfect way to play it. Like, if everyone boos him, the WWE then just makes him a bad. Like, you said it. He's signed for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I think,
like,
I mentioned
whether
this,
they get money out of him as a heel or a babyface, they could give a shit less.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it to Shahid, and I missed this part. I don't know why I just whistled saying an S-word, but, oh, boy. I was talking to Shahid about it, and I missed it because I was in Iowa, but apparently when Batista came back, he was acting like a heel, basically, saying how he's going to beat anybody, and doesn't matter who's in my way. And then he hugged Stephanie and Triple H or something. That was the wrong thing to do. That's a heel thing. And then, you know, I think it's going to be kind of difficult to have him as a heel until that Guardians of the Galaxy movie comes out. I mean, you know, it's a double. I mean, it's, you know, it works both ways for him. He's there to get money out of WWE. WWE has him to make money, but it also helps, you know, it's going to help when the movie comes out to promote it. And the movie looks cool, but it's going to need some help. So it'll need all the eyes it can get. So I think they've got to walk a fine line.
Oh.
And until then, I think that's what we're going to get. We just got more of the same on SmackDown. I saw the spoilers up, and it was more of the same. It's like, Jesus Christ, just let him be who he is, and, you know, let the people decide what they want to do with him. But that match...
Yeah, no, I mean, if he plays into it, people will probably start cheering him sooner rather than later, like, rather than letting him do anything else.
Yeah, and when Randy Orton came out last night, the crowd went crazy. It was like, oh my God, really? Is this going to happen? But, no, the Chamber match, I thought they did some pretty smart things in there. The first thing they have to start doing, though, is stop saying bulletproof glass.
Lexan.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's only ridiculous because it breaks all the time.
If
Sheamus kicking through the glass would have been the only time a pod broke, that would have been pretty badass. Then you could have been like, oh my God, look what he just did. That being said, that was still pretty damn cool. I thought that was a great Sheamus face he made. I thought Orton was perfect taunting him the whole time. So
yeah, you knew something was going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't know why I didn't think about the kick. Because Sheamus was just sitting there staring at him. And Orton's talking trash to him. And I'm just chuckling to myself.
Yeah, oh yeah. Just the anticipation going, that's not going to end well. Now, the kick, yeah. I did forget about the bro kick. But.
Yeah, and I just figured that really, at minimum, Sheamus would get his hands on him after he got back out of the pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah.
I mean, Orton was going to need to get out at some point, so yeah. It kind of would have been a showdown kind of a moment if they had just let it slide.
True, true. Yeah, no, I also wonder, though, in those chamber matches, why more people just don't do that? No.
Oh.
Slam the door back down and just hold it closed and be like, you guys fight it out. Wait till I'm done. You know.
Well, yeah, and the guys in the ring don't really know. Why not just kind of stand there in your pod, even if you're released?
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
Yeah, let them fight it out. You know, survival of the fittest.
I mean, do the whole road dog hanging onto the bottom ropes.
Or the edge coffee break and ladder matches. Just kind
of I was so disappointed that there wasn't a coffee break for some gigantic bump.
Yeah, nothing.
Is it Daniel Bryan's? Or was it maybe during the six-man match? I forget. I'd have to look back at my review.
Yeah, there were so many good bits there. But yeah, no, yeah. I enjoyed the Wyatt interaction. I wasn't expecting it. So when the lights went out and, you know, their little... Was it that or whatever sound he makes? And the lights went out. I was like, "Wait a minute, what?" It didn't even occur to me that was going to happen. And then, as soon as that happened, I was like, "All right, cue Kane. Here comes Kane's wandering down. Okay, Orton obviously is going to win." And I was okay with it. But I mean, what are you going to do? And it is what it is. I didn't mind Orton winning. So, you know, whatever. Daniel Bryan will get... I mean, he's making a ton of money. He's getting a ton of exposure. What more... I mean, obviously, you want to... You know, obviously, you want that run on top, but it'll come sooner or later, so...
Yeah, no, I guess that's why I'm just not even worried about it at this point. Like, they definitely do feature him enough. I guess I've just... Maybe I've given in to the fact that... you know, just not everyone can have the belt. Like, I think that they should have done that, but at this point for WrestleMania, I think that that's the better decision and the better storytelling to, you know, to present.
Well, I thought it was funny at the end of the chamber, and we'll wrap it up after this. We don't need to go into Raw, I guess, even though we're skipping Undertaker and Brock. I mean, maybe we can pick it up Thursday if we do a show, or you and Dusty can pick it up or whatever. I thought it was pretty interesting at the end of Elimination Chamber, though, that Michael Cole's making a big deal that, like, all of this started at SummerSlam. He's constantly getting screwed. This is constantly going on. So it seemed like, well, wait a minute, the way he's talking, shouldn't there be a championship match coming up? So, I don't know. That's why I just don't think, like, I think Orton and Batista is going to happen. I just get the feeling something else is going to happen. And we're still going to end with Bryan somehow in some sort of championship match, even if he does face Triple H.
No.
But yeah, I enjoyed the Elimination Chamber match thoroughly. It was a good time. You know, when you pay for a pay-per-view and the two matches you really wanted to see totally pan out, that's kind of how you become a wrestling fan. So,
yeah, you know, no, I mean, it's kind of hard. It's hard to argue. The quality of those two matches really helped out, and there was a third one tossed in there just for good measure.
Yeah, and then filler like we expected with the rest of it. So,
yep.
You know, it is. So, all right. Well, sorry we didn't get too much into Raw, but if you saw it, then you saw it. So we'll get back on the next one, a special one, 250. So we might have to figure out something special for the next one, or just say screw it and it's just a number. So,
We'll find out. Yeah. We'll probably just say screw it and do it.
Yeah, true. But, so you can find us on social media. It's Stunt Granny. You can find the podcast, Stunt Granny, on anything that has podcasts. The email is stuntgranny@gmail.com. Leave a comment on Facebook under the post here. Try to respond back to everything, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I am Granny Maze on Twitter and Instagram. That's about it. Kevin's DeFrango11. Dusty is Stunt Dusty. No, he's not. No, wait. Yeah, he is now, isn't he?
Yes, Stunt Dusty. Yeah, yep. Okay.
Eric runs the Stunt Granny account when he's baiting people and trying to start fights between indie promoters and wrestlers. So check us out. Feel free and contact us. I'm going to get out of here and let Kevin take us out.
And as I answer questions interactively on our Facebook page, which I was not refreshing, so I didn't realize I was making comments when should have been answering people. I am going to go grab, Mr. Owl. It's a double India Brown Ale from Seven Sun, who also did Seven Fists of Death with Revolution Brewing, which is out of Chicago. Very, very tasty stuff, both of them. So go have yourself a sippy time beer, and I'm out of here.